my sister wife actually asked which sort of JK is superior. And I was like, whoa. As far as like, which one's the best? Like, which one is? And it's like such a loaded question. The thing about Fucked Day JK is that the girlies, the editors have been using that footage for 2 years now. Almost 2 years now. There were so many angles. Hello, welcome to Grown Ass Fandom. I am about to be free. I have two more sleeps until I am free of quarantine. Can you believe it? I can't. And then my birthday, like my first freedom day in Korea is on my birthday. How poetic, how main character is that? So we have tons to talk about today. We have a lot to talk about, so much to talk about. This is the promised muster episode. And there's a bunch of other stuff I want to talk about too, but we'll see what we have time for and what we actually can say within a reasonable amount of time. So should we start with muster? I don't have any big conceptual K-pop idea. And I guess I don't really have one this week. One question I do have is, I guess about, so one of the things that I find really interesting being in South Korea is like the endorsement culture. So I have not left this room in 14 days. And when I tell you, I've seen so many commercials starring BTS, like I won't go on my They Should Be Richer rant right now, but they should be richer. And then there's also like faces of random people on everything, like your turtle chips, your ramen, your almonds. Like there's, South Korea is a really healthy endorsement culture. And something I was talking about with somebody is of how the West hates that shit. Like we do not like that for whatever reasons. And it like got me thinking deeper about one of the things that I get on here and talk about is how the BTS just really caters their image towards Western ideals in a lot of ways. But if they being so big as they are and people seeing how endorsement culture can work in some ways, if they're going to bring it over to the West and there's going to be more kind of endorsement things, I don't know. And again, it goes back to what the goals are, if they just want more and more money. But I was also wondering, like, why don't more people do it? And I guess there's always these videos of a lot of major stars going to Asia to be in commercials. And I guess it's just not a part of our culture. But I was like wondering if there's going to be more endorsement type things outside of, because it is turning, right? Because there is like meals like the Travis Scott meal, Migos had stuffing at Popeyes and stuff like that. So there is something like that, but we see like faces on pads and stuff like that. I literally just saw a TikTok about Astro and how they endorse pads. Isn't that funny? So that's one thought I had. And just like looking at muster as a whole, I guess we'll just dive in. I thought it was crazy and also absurd. I think it's absurd that they played all their commercials on the top of muster compared to, I think, the last two concerts. They just play the music videos. And it felt like a real shift. And I saw a couple ARMYs on TikTok get defensive when ARMYs have shown some real concern about what is happening or like what is changing. And it's not even concern, it's just a clocking. Like I can clock all these things and do I still think about Hey Kayla? Yes, I do. Did muster still make me have another existential breakdown? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Can you hear it in my voice? Like my horny crack? And it's, you can comment on these things. You can be like, BTS is very highly commodified and highly productized while also me being right in the cut with it. And that's the thing, right? And again, I always I feel like I bring up this question every single week. It's so when somebody is investing in Big Hit, what are they investing in? And I think they're investing in this idea that you can create bands that can be productized to the extent in which BTS are, in which they can support a whole brand in this way. Like they can like build a bit, like you can expand upon that idea. And again, can that be repeated? I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about TXT lately. I've seen them perform on the music shows here. I've just been watching them. I love that album. I think I'm going to talk about that album every single week. And I think I'm going to dive deeper into their dynamics and watch the videos and some of the other content and see what the read is. Because, yeah. And it's interesting how quickly their looks are evolving, because I feel like even from, I did a video on them, I guess two months ago, I forgot when it was, and they already look different to me. Like they already look, anyway, yeah. So like the fact that there were so many commercials on the top of Muster, I thought was really interesting. I don't know. What's really interesting about this is, I need to find another word. Interesting. What's fascinating about this is that Big Hit really doesn't make, I keep calling it Big Hit, whatever. They don't really make much of an effort to hide it. Like the strings and stuff around this stuff, like you think that they would be a little bit more, oh, we should be conscious of how this looks. But I do think that, like you said, like the kind of endorsement culture is really, I mean, just being here, it's very Korean. And I don't even think they realize that there's like a sensitivity to it. But I know that a lot of like people in the Discord and people I've talked to were turned off by all the commercials. Oh my gosh, I told this story in my Discord, but I was hanging out with my friends and we were hanging out. And one of the things we were doing is like playing music videos where we would go around in a circle and each of us would pick music videos. And of course, I was picking BTS videos. And I also did some other videos. It was interesting to see what they liked and didn't like. Like, for example, they loved Blood, Sweat, and Tears, but they're two gay men. So of course they did. They loved Blood, Sweat, and Tears. They really liked Butter at first. But then one of the things that they said that I thought was interesting is they were like, oh, like, I thought I liked Butter, but I liked some of the other videos better. So they really liked, they weren't crazy about Black Swan, which I thought was interesting, because I know a lot of us are saying that, oh, Black Swan was the song, but they didn't like it. I showed them the idol performance and they were like, eh, let's see. They liked the DNA video, but they were high. They really liked, I forgot what else I played for them. I think they liked, I don't know how they felt about On. I just think they thought it looked good. But it's always interesting to see what like general population relates to and stuff like that. And I thought that the Blood, Sweat, and Tears, they loved that video and they loved that song and they loved how the dramatic and stuff like that. And now it makes me think if they did something like that was like the mid-range between Black Swan and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, if it would break through. I'm trying to think of what other video I showed them. I also showed them ITZY and they're like, oh, they're like Blackpink. And I'm like, you are not wrong about that. But yeah, they did not like Idol at all. And it was so funny because I was like, this video literally keeps me up at night and they just were not interested. Oh, Fake Love. They just thought was crazy. I think their biggest thing was like, oh, these videos are wild. But yeah. So that's what. And it was so funny to hear like their assessments on the individual members. I won't give those here. But so anyway, let me go back to what I was saying. I'm already off track. So I was mortified because I guess you could get a sense of my political affiliation here, but my two friends especially are very much like liberal, like super liberal. One of my friends worked on the Warren campaign, like we're like those people, like we live in California. and the commercial with Namjoon for Hyundai came on and they looked at me and they were like, and I was like, I don't know, I'm sorry. Because if you've seen the commercial, it's so fucked. It's so fucked. Because it's like a car commercial being like, in these years, this is why we need to invest in this type of technology to save the earth, which is just completely fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous, you know, that a car company would make a commercial like that for the sake of capitalism. Oh, and so, yeah, like, when Namjoon started talking about it, I got so embarrassed. I got so embarrassed because they looked at me like, and they're like, this is your man. And I was like, uh-huh. it was mortifying that they like would be in a commercial like that. So that's like my experience with this type of thing. But yeah, let me know what music videos you've shown friends and what they think about each of the ones. I think it ends up being like, so I'm actually one of those people who tends to not recruit because I feel like being in the army has given me a lot, but also like I do miss not being in the army. Like I miss my life. I miss my freedom. So I always have mixed feelings about being like, people are like, oh, should I get into BTS? Like in the last 2 months, I've been like, absolutely not. I definitely would not do that. Even though I have a podcast. But it's interesting because I know some of my friends, hi friends, listen to this podcast. They don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I appreciate you. Okay, so we are talking about Muster. We haven't even gotten in. It's been 11 minutes and we haven't even gotten into Muster. So overall thoughts on the, let's go through Muster's day one and day two and then give thoughts on different topics that I have on my list. Muster day one. So when I tell you that Muster day one had me so down bad that I got depressed, if you're in my Discord, like you saw it live in real time. This is what this podcast is about unpacking the feelings, right? Like unpacking what exactly is happening to us. And it's like when you get so turned on by something and you're so affected by something that it just makes you depressed. Because the thing about K-pop and being an adult, and I say this every week, is that you are these feelings of intensity, especially if you're single, especially if you're older, especially if you don't have access to me, especially if you're a pandemic army, you are given these feelings and these feelings get brought up in you in a way that's like very specific. Because I could say that I like love Keanu Reeves or I love this other person, but it's not really specific. Like you aren't really given this idea or this sort of impression that you really know them. But K-pop is so hardcore about trying to like create this feeling as if you know them. And so you are given all this time and space to get to know them and to figure out their little quirks and like all this stuff. I literally have a series on my TikTok about BTS sitting. So you're given the space to do all this stuff and learn all this stuff about them. And then you see something like Muster where they come out like looking like sex, like all of them look so sexy and so sexual and like grown and stuff, but they're not yours. And I know that everybody's like touch some grass, but first of all, I'm in this hotel room, so I can't touch any grass. But second of all, like, it's just like this thing, like it just makes you feel out of your mind. Like I was feeling out of my mind. I was like, this is crazy that I feel like this. I feel this much desire and then you don't have anywhere to put it. Like you don't have anywhere to put it. And I'm sharing this because it's embarrassing. But I know that you guys always come to me and you say, Sinead, thank you for saying this stuff because it makes me feel less crazy. And so I'm telling you that literally day one had me straight up depressed because I was like, the desire I feel for some of these guys, and they're not even close. And I felt really bitter about it. Like that I've been pulled into this vortex where I've been manipulated into feeling these things and given this energy that I can't do anything with. And like what I said about last week about how if you're young, it must be really intense and destabilizing because as a grown-ass woman, it is also destabilizing. So I think that's the first thing about day one is that it gave me a breakdown because I was like, I even said something, I was like, I hate this. This isn't fun for me anymore. Like, it's not fun to have this happen to you. I've better now because I feel like day two was less intense or maybe I was just like ready for it or maybe it was like different conditions so I didn't feel it as bad. But yeah, like day one though, girl, it was just like fucking intense. would not recommend. And so, okay, so I just had to say that. That's the big thing about day one. Okay. So day one, questions, thoughts, things that I'm thinking about. So one thing, the first thing that's like on my heart to talk about is JK. And so obviously JK day one he had completely lost his mind. He had gotten to that really specific mind space of Lot, I'm just going to call it L-Day, D-Day. I'm going to call it the fucked day. So the fucked day in 2019, that concert, and he had gotten to similar mind space with this first day muster, and I have a lot of questions and lots of things to bring to the class. One thing I saw is I saw a TikTok. I will put the TikTok in the description, where a sister wife actually asked which sort of JK is superior. And I was like, whoa. As far as like, which one's the best? Like, which one is? And it's like such a loaded question. The thing about fucked day JK is that the girlies, the editors have been using that footage for 2 years now, almost 2 years now. There were so many angles. There were so many ways of seeing him be that way. And it was so consistent. And there was like, so can you guess what I'm going to pick? So just like guess, like stop, send me a speaker pipe or send me a Discord or Patreon and tell me which one you think I'm going to pick. But if you're in the JK thing, you probably know. Here's my thing. The JK that showed up in Muster Day 1 was definitely like a sexy JK, right? Like he was very much in his bag. His tattoo was out, especially at the beginning. I would say the first 20 minutes especially were when he was just feeling very much sexy. But I would argue that JK, like I feel like it was more like a vibe and an energy that was like triggered by his wardrobe, right? You see this a lot with Jimin, where he will change his personality and stuff according to how he's styled. And so Muster JK, I feel like, was very much like the JK who like put on the fit, like he put on the shirt, like I'm not gonna say that, but like something might have happened before, right? He put on the shirt, he put on the pants, he put on the glasses, and he was like, oh, like the vibe. Like, I get this vibe and I can lock into this vibe specifically. And he had like a real vision for the type of energy that he wanted to convey on these days. But I think the difference is that with the fucked day JK, it was just, I feel like it's closer to who he is actually. Like, I feel like it was not a performance. And I said this with, when people compare My Time JK to fucked day JK, I'm like, there's no contest, there's no competition. Because I think he's in this phase now, just like I said, just from looking, I don't know anything, where he is trying to get a sense of, he's trying to like settle in and figure out like, hey, what is my style of performance? Like, what's the energy I want to convey? Like what makes me feel most comfy, but also makes me feel like I'm singing the best and stuff like that. And so I feel like from day one or day two, you saw him working through that. But I think that with the Lot concert or the most fucked day, is that he just was like very, very natural. Like, it was just like very like, and the playful, sexy energy, I think, is closer to more of who he is. So I'm going to pick 2019 JK, which is not a surprise to anybody because I am a devotee to that JK. Like, that is my JK. Whenever I have my JK period, it is literally that period. It's like literally from June to August, JK of 2019 is where I'm pulling from. And so but I also love Muster JK. Like, he's super hot. Like, I think he's finally starting to settle in. The wardrobing was impeccable. We'll talk more about the wardrobe later, but I feel like the JK agenda around his styling was perfect. I think the glasses were a stroke of genius. I don't think anybody could predict that, like, when he put his glasses on like that, that he would like transform in that way. The smile, so the thing about most fucked day JK is that there were so many angles. There were so many fan cams, so many people who could get different aspects, who could like catch all the little moments. But the Muster people, by the way, okay, I promise I'll come back. You guys are like, Shanae, please come back. The production, not great. The audio issues, not great. They're way too rich. They have way too much money to have a lot of the audio issues they had, to have a lot of the production issues they had. Like, it just was like they need to fire some people on the production team. And maybe it's because everybody's rusty. Like everybody, nobody's done a big show like this outside in the elements in a while. So maybe that was it. But it just was like not good. But yeah, but because we didn't get all the different angles that we did for Most Fucked Day, maybe it would take it over. But for me, like I said, you know how unmoved I am by his tattoos. Like I'm like on the record of saying, yes, I know he has tattoos, but I don't have the, and maybe it's because I'm very attached to 2019 JK. So like his tattoos are not a part of like, do not fuel any of my attraction to him. Also, like I said, I've been around the block for, I'm a little older. So like tattoos, but so I do realize that the impact and like having his tattoo sleeve out, and for a lot of people that makes him a lot sexier. And he definitely had a few moments. As you guys have seen the GIF where he's like pulling his hair back and you're just like, my God, like JK is the fucking hottest person to ever walk the planet. He's just so hot. And then like, and most of the time, I feel like 80% of the time he does not realize it, or he's like in his head. But in these moments where he's actually, I am, it's just iconic. And I remember being like legitimately worried. Like I was like, oh my God, like he is so powerful. JK is so fucking powerful. And if he could just like, I was like, if he could do this, like what is going to happen next? Like, oh my God, this is like out of control. Like I'm legitimately scared. Like I was like, oh my God, like JK is like going to pop off in a way that's like greater or more intense than anybody. Like he's such a star. He's such a star in a way that's so specific, and like the hype and all that stuff is like in those moments, it just all feels so well deserved. I feel like day two was not intense. And I was like, okay, like he's still our JK. Like he's not quite like gonna, I don't know if he's gonna be that way all the time. It's so interesting because I was talking to my friend and we were like, we feel like day one scared him. Like he looked back at the footage and maybe he felt like he was a little out of control. Virgo energies unite. Like I know that like he probably was looking at his performances and he was just like, ugh. Or like if he didn't think he sung as well, because day one was definitely like sexier and wilder and more just like primal. But day two, he sounded just like more stable and consistent. So I wonder if he was looking at the footage like, oh my God, who is that person? So I'm going to pick 2019 JK as the superior one. But that's not saying that Mustard JK did not like literally have me on my knees scared for my life, because he did. He wrecked me so hardcore. But like, I don't even know if that'd be considered being wrecked. Like they all destroyed me. In my notes, I have like Hobie !! Like, oh my gosh, like Hobie's hair. First of all, like I think that the cool thing about Hobie is that you legitimately never have to worry about him. Like you never have to worry that he's going to miss a beat. You never have to worry he's going to miss a step, that he's not going to be where he needs to be. He's so stable. He's such a professional. He's so good at giving to everyone. There's this one clip that I found as well where I forgot what song they're singing, but like it's Tay and then Hobie and Jimin, and then Hobie could tell when their note together was coming up. I forget the song. I know, forgive me. I'm a ratchet army. I know the song, but I just can't think of it right now. He like switched their spots so that they could sing together their high note. Like he's just that bitch. He just is like a professional. So as far as Namjoon, which I know a lot of people, I got a lot of questions about Namjoon. What did I think about his hair? What did I think about his style? What did I think about everything? It's so interesting because it was brought, I have to stop using the word interesting. It was so wild because somebody brought up the fact that they weren't crazy about Muster Namjoon. And I've heard it a couple times, but you know what it is? And it's so funny because as I was sitting here thinking about Namjoon and his fits and his whole vibe, and all I could think about, I couldn't even call upon the way he looked. I just could really think about how he felt, which is like a really weird thing to say, and his energy and how specific it seemed to be. I think that the theory of Namjoon going through a heartbroken hostage I think holds water. Of course, I believe it, but I think that it's, even if it's not a breakup, which I think that it would be, I'd be very shocked if it turned out it wasn't a breakup. Even if it's like a breakup with the way BTS used to be, because if you chart this experience around Namjoon's transformation and attitude, a lot of it is about the turn they've turned, they've made to the West. I mean, if you go back to my timeline, you'll see that a lot of stuff has happened, right? And so it can be that he is mourning a breakup while also mourning the death of like what BTS was, which I know a lot of ARMYs think that this is a dramatic way to view what BTS is doing. And I saw this TikTok that was like, they do two songs and y'all are like, da, 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 da. But I think that's unfair. It's clear that they've made a really strong turn into a specific direction. Whether or not it's a permanent thing, I think it is perfectly reasonable to interpret the actions of the last couple months as a turn or a new way of being for BTS. There's the other theory that this is just temporary until quarantine is over and COVID is over, and then it'll go back to being way more than what it was. Big Hit has to sustain itself. It has to make money. And so Namjoon's attitude is, I feel like there's a couple things, right? I think it's I don't think it's the fact that he is necessarily harsher than he was before. I think it's probably that he just has less patience to hide those aspects of himself and feels the need and the desire to bring more of himself forward, which means that he is a lot of things, which means that he can be kind, he can be rough, he can be a tough leader, he can get tired, he can get exhausted, he can be just as upset and frustrated and annoyed with the situation as anyone. I think it's a lot. We ask a lot of BTS to be our happiness, our joy, and stuff like that. But this fucking sucks. Like, this whole situation fucking sucks. Like, if they're traumatized, I mean, if we're traumatized, they're definitely traumatized. It's like a traumatizing experience for pretty much everyone, I would say. And I think that Namjoon is carrying that trauma and he's not hiding the trauma of the situation better than he was before. I think that's more of what his attitude is. And I think that in result of that, he's really trying to channel his frustration and his anger and his lack of control over a situation, whether it be this relationship or whether it be the whole situation or the way BTS is going or the company. He's channeling that all into his performances and his communication with us. Like, he's just not able to censor himself anymore. And the just really intense, sexy, focused energy, I feel like, is him gathering up all of his energy that he can and just like putting it out there, because I think he's tired. I think he's just really exhausted. And so that's how it felt to me. It just felt like a very like primal performance, like something that he really pulled from his like soul to like get out to us, if it makes sense. Like, that's how it felt to me. And that's why when I was like thinking about, do I like his hair? Do I like his clothes? Do I like all this stuff? I just couldn't even like, I don't know. I just felt the energy more than anything else. But of course, like, he looks great. I think he always looks great. I think he's always one of the finest men on the planet. You guys know how I feel about Namjoon. I just hope that he's doing okay and that he's supporting himself. And these are the moments too, right? Like earlier when I was talking about the frustration, and you just want to reach out and help, and you want to reach out and you can't, like, you don't have access. And that's what makes it all so crazy making, is that, you know, it's so funny because I think a lot of people, I don't know, but it's just, that's how I feel about Namjoon's performance and how he was feeling during that time, is that I just think he's tired, he's a little frustrated, and he cannot hide some of the rougher aspects of his personality for the sake of keeping this facade, because I do wonder if there is this idea of having all this money, all this fame, all this access, all this stuff, and like what can, and there's so much that's out of his control, and what he can control is feeling authentic and true to himself. And so this is what feels true to himself, and pretending is exhausting. So I think he just is like tired of pretending. And so this is what it's like, and this is who he is. And I think that's in itself sexy, because I like the real stuff as somebody who has a lot of different aspects of my personality and who's not good at hiding. Like, I'm not good at hiding what's going on with me. I've always been like that. It's something that I can really relate to. So it's just things I noticed is that Jin seemed like, my friend is a huge Jin fan, and she was stressed the first part of this performance because he seemed like he was down, and I would be too. It's fucking depressing. I think that, like, I'm sure they're happy to perform, but the idea of performing to an empty stadium like that was probably so fucking depressing. Do you know what I mean? It's just, I don't think, especially when you look at the concert videos, like, for me there's no difference, right? Because this is how I know them. The version of my version of BTS is this version of BTS that only does concerts this way, and like having them like see footage of their concert just like really mean. It's not mean, it's just like it sucks. Like, I don't understand why they were doing it, but it has to make them feel really upset, and they must really miss it, because I know that, like, before this, BTS was really a tour band, right? Like, I was watching one of the documentaries, and it seems like they were always touring and always performing, and to do that, and then it's like almost been 2 years now. It's crazy how time goes. I think it's probably that, where you just are kind of like, here we go again. I miss ARMY. And I think they do. I think they do miss ARMY. And Jimin, I will save my Jimin conversation for day two. But the lip ring, he needs to get it. Did we confirm the nipple piercings? Are they for real or no? Let me know. Also, it looks like JK's eyebrow ring is for real, which I also predicted that. I was like, oh, I bet it's a trial, but I'm sure he'll get a real one soon. It just adds to his aesthetic, to the brand he's building, for sure. I couldn't imagine, once he got the idea and he saw that it looked cool, that he was not going to do it. I know that you guys get mad at me, or you get frustrated with me when I talk about JK, because even though obviously I adore him, but I feel like people think that I'm not hyping up these things in his life as much as everybody else do. And I know I've talked to you guys, you guys have messaged me about it, and you know what it is, and I was like figuring out like what is it, and I think what it is is I fully understand the impact, and or from my perspective, the things that, like, the conversations around JK, like I said, I feel like they're just, a lot of them are just so unhealthy. And I sometimes think that my approach to JK and being just like very casual about these things that are to other ARMY made into a bigger idea, like his tattoos, the piercings and stuff, I just like to send, hey, this is normal, you're growing up energy to him, because I just feel like he doesn't get enough of that. When everything you do is such an event, it must be so overwhelming. And to me, I feel like, I think that's why I do it. I think that's why I'm always more muted around his aesthetics, especially since his aesthetics seems to torture him. Like, he seems really tortured around his appearance and really tortured around these decisions around himself. And so, like, the constant conversations about, like, his tattoos and this stuff, I think it just adds to it. I don't have a problem with it, obviously. I just talked about how beautiful he was and how he's amazing and stuff like that. I'm sure that could be damaging too, but I try to just focus on who he is as a person. I think that's why. So I'm sorry. I know that a lot of you guys find the eyebrow ring more exciting than I do. You find the tattoos more exciting than I do. But I think it's me trying to, like, God, I would never say, given the things that I've thought about that boy, I'm never going to say big sister, but I guess support him and hopefully send him, I don't know, hopefully he feels my energy and I just want grounding forces in his life so badly. So that's why I do it. I'm sorry. I'm sure there's another podcaster out there who will scream about his tattoos and the details and stuff like that. I do like his elbow tattoo, and I'm excited to see, he seems to be getting a blast over, and I think that's a good idea. I think the blast over will look really, really good. But the elbow tattoo is nice from what I saw. But, you know, I feel about the rest of them. I'm going to get a tattoo while I'm here. I don't know what I'm going to get. Like, at first, I want something that is going to be, because I just got a big tattoo that is took a while to heal because it was pretty big. It's a lot of black work. So it's taking forever to heal, and I'll be in Korea for 4 weeks, so I don't really want anything super big and that's going to take a long time to heal, but I want to get something that, like, is Korea related. I got a referral for, I got two tattoo artists. I got referrals from black women because I only want to get tattooed with people who have experience with black skin. And one of them is probably, I think one of them is Bam Bam's tattoo artist. I don't know if that means that it's JK's tattoo artist or what, but I got that, and then I got another referral, and so we'll see which one goes through. But it's so funny because I got Bam Bam's referral, right? And I was like, do I like Bam Bam's tattoo? Is that the person who did his kissing on my tattoos tattoo? Because I don't know. Is that where I want to go? I was thinking like a crane. But again, I don't want anything that's going to take forever to heal or is going to be a pain. Any ideas, let me know. I also was looking at the coins, maybe like an outline of one of the trees that's pretty common here. I figure when I get out of quarantine, I will be inspired because obviously I can't get too much inspiration for my tattoo while I'm in quarantine. Anyways, let's see. Tay looked beautiful. Like, I just sometimes, I think I, in my video that I did about Tay, I talked about how he's beautiful in a way that's, it's like shocking. Like, it's like disorients you. And there's like a big rumor going on right now that he's like dating one of the Twice girls, but maybe he was. He's definitely not dating her now, I would say. But I forgot what the Twice girl's name. I don't know Twice them. I mean, I actually love Twice, but I don't know their names yet. I need to learn their names. I think I know Sana, Taehyun, let's see, Juyeon. I actually know a couple of their names. I need to learn more. So I know that there's like a controversy right now with one of the Twice members and another weight scandal. I swear, like, you guys are, the thing about, okay, I swear I'll get back on track. But I just am so frustrated with the fat phobia within K-pop. And like how just even just they're so thin, y'all. And because they're so thin, when anybody gains just a little bit of weight, it's so noticeable because everybody else is so underweight. So like when somebody just becomes like an actual normal human person size and is not like literally underweight, it makes them look so much bigger in comparison to the people around them, which is, there's no problem with this. You can be a big bitch and a bad bitch all the time. Like, let me know. But they're not big at all. Oh, she went from like a 0 to a 2. So let's all talk about it. And I do think that it's like, oh, and Yoongi got this too. People were like, Yoongi has like gained weight and stuff like that. And I'm just like, what are you fucking talking about? And then like, so, cause like people would be like, Yoongi gained weight. And then there's like the conversation of is getting big because he's like working out. And it's like, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Yoongi is a bad bitch and he's so fucking sexy. And it doesn't matter what size he is. And if he got bigger, like thicker is good, smaller is good, whatever. It's so frustrating. It's so, I don't know how anybody gets into K-pop if they're still really struggling with food and stuff like that, because I'm somebody who struggles still a little bit with like body image and stuff like that, but I feel like I'm still somebody who can see the stuff for what it is. But if I didn't, if I was still stuck in that place, like even like, I feel like even if it was like, I would say 3 months before I got into K-pop, I'd be crazy right now. Really make me spiral, because you have here people out here saying that somebody who's a size 2 is like fat. Like, what in God's name? So fucking stupid. Like, where are we? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Sorry, that's a tangent. But yeah, the Yoongi thing made me mad too. I'm just like, let Yoongi live. And like, and the other thing about it is, it doesn't really matter. Like, I don't, they're so small anyway. Like, any little gain weight, it's just, okay. So yeah, Tae is gorgeous. If he is dating the girl from Twice, they're both beautiful in a way that I find deeply uncomfortable. It's just too much for me. So talking about the music, let's see. The Jita is obviously the big highlight of the day. And there's so many things I want to say about it. I was just so shocked to see Jimin starting. It was just, I just couldn't believe it because I just thought it was going to be Yoongi. But I guess it makes sense that they would all do it together. And I just would love the behind the scenes on Digita and Chicken Noodle Soup both and practicing for it and how they did it and stuff like that. But yeah, Jimin starting it off with the people around him. He just looks great. I love the traditional wear. I love whenever they wear it. It's so good. And then Jin, always enthusiastic. JK, of course, good at everything. And then there was, of course, Namjoon, who was in the zone. I wish I could have heard, I wanted to hear Namjoon sing more of the song because I like to hear him rap. But then of course Tae, because you guys seen the meme where it's like a little kid sleeping next to his clothes and they're all set up and it was he's ready, and like we're talking about how Tae must have been super super excited to perform Digita, and like he was like and when he fell in the beard, the mustache and the whole thing and the look on his face, I can't tell you, like, I've seen so many of the memes of him and I never get tired of them. Please send me your favorites. They're so funny. Tae is just so funny. He seemed to have a lot of fun the whole weekend. He's just such a good performer. I think he really comes alive on stage. And I think even more so than the last two concerts, because I feel like in the last two concerts, it's been a little bittersweet for him. But I feel like this one, he's finally accepted what's happening and is like really into it and having fun and all that stuff. And then, of course, Hobi. Oh my God. I saw another, again, we talk about TikTok a lot. There's another TikTok that put him and Yoongi together singing that part over each other, and it's magical. The fact that he ate that shit up, like, oh my gosh, it was legendary. It's just so good. And like I said about Hobi earlier, he's so reliable. Like, you never have to worry about it. I don't think I've ever seen him make a mistake on stage. I don't think I've ever heard him not sound good. He's just always perfect. The man's perfect. He's perfect, perfect, perfect. I don't know. Again, and I don't understand. I've always gone on and on about how I'm so tired of ARMY and they're biased against Hobi. Like, I see it in my TikTok videos. Like, they don't get as much views. And I'm just like, oh, please love him. He's the best. He's the most. He's everything and more, I would say. And of course, Yoongi. Did we talk about Yoongi? I think overall, he just, like I said, he looks great. He seems really happy and joyous and back to himself. Like, truly, like, he's like the grumpy sort of joyous type of deal with him, I think, is very much apparent. He seems really settled in. I loved his hair. I love the blonde. I'm gonna miss the black because, as I did in my ranking, black is my favorite. But he seems to be doing well and taking care of himself and staying healthy, and I hope he doesn't hear any of the conversations that are out. That's the other thing, you know, we always have these conversations and we chastise people for saying certain things, but I just wish that we would just let people be assholes without getting attention. I feel like so much of the way that we bring attention to certain things as ARMY is what kind of puts it on their radar. If we would just ignore it, it would just fade into the background. So that's another rant. But yeah, Digital was amazing. I really liked the whole set. I am an idol enthusiast, even though my friends were not. I think it just has always performed really well. The So What, they can run so fast. Like, the way Tae was running for his life. They're just, I don't know. I love them. Okay, let's move on to day two, I guess. Are we ready for day two? Is there anything else we need to say about Muster? I think we covered everybody for day one. Okay, let's do day two. So one thing that, like, day two was definitely less intense. I didn't feel as overwhelmed by everybody. And they just, I feel like they all settled in a little more. I feel like the sound was a little better on day two, but there still was like a ton of issues. Something set on fire, apparently. It's so fun, and it's so interesting how the styling impacted them. I felt like Tae and Jimin were more aggressive this day. JK really took a step back on day two. Like, he still was like in it, but it wasn't as hardcore. And it's probably because he didn't like his Guy Fieri fit. Okay, let's go. We didn't talk about styling. Day one styling was so good. I don't have any notes. I think they did a really good job. Everybody was styled really good. I feel like the new stylists have a really good sense of how to fit them individually and is less concerned with, I think that Tae's styling is always very distinct and true to him, but I think Hobie's for something too, but like I think that a lot of the members, they just put them in clothes. But I feel like the new stylist, whoever's working, has a better sense of like how to dress each of them according to their styles, according to their energies and stuff like that. So that is something that I think is great, is that the styling was so good day one. Like I said, the glasses, like JK's fit was just genius. Like, it just tapped into like the fuck boy, like sort of dommy type of what it was. It just, it just hit me. The thing is that JK Muster day one is like a fanfic. Like, he's like fanfic JK. Like, if you're like, what JK and all the fanfics, if you brought them together, that would be him and all the ones I've read. I would say that's really what it was. And so I feel like they had a good sense of that and were able to style him accordingly. His idol Digitofit was just like amazing. The crop top, but it was just like barely there crop top, but she still like left it up to imagination. The holes in his jacket, it was just really, really good styling. Everybody's fits were really, really good. Like I say, I think Tae always looks good. I also think we're going through the finally style Jinwell era, which is very exciting. I thought his butter outfit was really good. I also thought Hobie's butter outfit was really good. I love Hobie's hair. Have I already talked about Hobie's hair? Probably have. I just think that his looks right now, the melanin with the hair and everything, because I didn't think that it could get better than Hobie's black hair, but I don't know. Like, it's really, really up there. I thought that Jin's styling was very, very strong just throughout the whole time. Like, even though I hate the day two fits, I liked his shirt and outfit. I just thought it was funny, and I thought it fit his personality well, and I thought that it was like absurd enough and cool, and I liked that it had the Hangul on it. And yeah, I just thought that it was great. And let's see, and I am just glad that his clothes fit. That's what I'm happy about. I really liked Namjoon's shorts. I know that there's like a lot of controversy over his shorts. Are they good shorts? Are they bad shorts? I like them. I think it's funny. And I think it's like an interesting choice for him. But I think he looks great. But I could be biased. But yeah, day one styling, really, really strong. Day two styling, I couldn't get into most of it. I guess the rest were okay. I like Hobie's fit. I can't get behind it completely. But I think, like I said, overall in general, big picture, I think the styling has definitely improved with BTS. In some of the smaller engagements, the outfits have been way better. Do you guys remember Dynamite? Oh my God. The outfits during that era were not good. I feel like they started working, like the new stylists came on for Grammys, because I really liked their Grammys performance looks, and after that it's been better. But before that, oh my God, not good. So let's talk about Jimin in day two and how aggressive he was. The way that his energy in day two was so intense that it inspired a new series in me for TikTok, which is just like BTS sitting. I think I mentioned this earlier. Because of the power, and I think a lot of you said that it's his hair. His hair really dictates how his energy comes up, and of course, filter. And he does a lot of music and says a lot about how he's able to really shape into the visions of whatever anybody needs at the time, and he can like lock into personalities and stuff like that. And so then the work becomes like, what is the real Jimin? And we don't actually know, do we? Because we don't know about any of this stuff. But it just feels like day two Jimin is who Jimin really is. I talk a lot about how the tampering down of the sexuality of the idols, and how one of the reasons why Namjoon is noticeable, is like very popular among older idols, is because he doesn't really tamper down his sexuality very much. And it feels very grown up and it seems very true to him, versus like a lot of the sexual performance you see within K-pop. And Jimin is interesting is because he's somebody who has both. Like, he is both like intrinsically sexy and is amazing at sexual performance. But I do feel like sometimes that Jimin is trying to hide the fact that he's not really. Like, if we like really talk about, he's not really hiding the fact that he's like a super, super sexual person. But I do think that he does try to like veer more into cute. I think Jimin is like a good example of like how people are like so complicated, and as human beings we have so many aspects to us, and he has so many different vibes, and he's able to fully express them because he's an idol. But it feels like what at his core, he's just like a really intensely sexual person, and I feel like day two really like showcased that. And everything he did that just had like extra sauce on it. Like, even sitting there, he just was like oozing sexuality. And I just love him for that. I love the example he, one of the comments I got a lot in my Disappointed Dom video is how people are glad that I sort of really talked about this aspect of it. And I've talked about this before, how, like I said, I'm late to this whole like Jimin thing. And I think because Jimin is able to attract a lot of different people, both men and women, he gets like a lot of people want to put their own fantasies about the real androgyny to him, that he's this and he's that. And that doesn't, all those things don't necessarily mean that he's not a extremely masculine, dominating person. And it shows like how little depth people have for these conversations, and how like we talk a lot about like the queer baiting that exists in K-pop, and like the fixation people have with people's sexualities and their relationships and stuff like that. And a lot of the conversation around Jimin is agenda pushing. And again, it's agenda pushing without the actual knowledge of how sexuality and people really work. He can attract all these men and still be a really masculine dominant force. He can have that and have feminine aspects. Like, it's just so weird how everybody's like, you know, in the comments are like, he's a fairy, he's this, he's that, he's like my little fairy, my wreath. Or like, sure, that's a part of him too, but he's got all this other aspects too. And so I find the agenda pushing around Jimin really complicated, and I can say that from my perspective. And it's hard because, like I said, I don't like to talk about this stuff because it just feels like it's out of my range, and I don't think that I I'm not a shipper. I think we had a question about shipping, about like the aggressiveness of it, and I guess I'll like touch on it here because I feel like Jimin, so much of Jimin's, the agenda that gets pushed on him is really based off of the fact that people really believe that he's in a relationship with JK. And that's the thing too, is even if he was, doesn't mean he's not a masculine person who can have a lot of sexual energy and be really intense in other ways. I do wonder if the agenda pushing that gets put around him makes it harder for him to understand himself either, because it just seems like he has to play roles in some ways that like a lot of the other members don't have to. But he's just so fine, he's so sexy. I mean, that's why everybody loves him, that's why everybody's attracted to him, that's why everybody falls in love with him, is because he is who he is. And outside of his sexual orientation, and again, like I said, like sexual orientation does not dictate how you like show up in the world. It's so problematic. Like you're saying that just because, anyway. So I get a lot of questions about what my thoughts are about Chicken Noodle Soup. Chicken Noodle Soup is before my time, and I've always say that my feelings are complicated, and this is what I mean. Oh wait, before we get into the other part of Chicken Noodle Soup, I wanted to point out some things I loved about the performance. One obviously was Jimin and Namjoon singing Becky G's part. They sounded really good. Like, where's the remix? Especially Jimin sounded amazing on that track, and I want him to do more in that vocal style. Obviously he's not a rapper, but like his sort of like sing-songy style of rap, I feel like I want to see more on songs. Like, I want to see it. he has such a cool voice, and I'm June. I was like, uh-oh. So it distracted me a little bit from the terrible fits. And also Jin's chicken noodle soup. Remember how like Jin hated chicken noodle soup and he was like very embarrassed to do it? And it felt like now he was just like getting into it. I was like, yeah, Jin, get into it. And then of course, like, Tae loved it. He loves this aesthetic. He feels like he really missed his opportunity to shine as a rapper, a lead rapper. So it was really fun to see him do this. I think that Yoongi on Chicken Noodle Soup is such an aesthetic. It's such an energy. It's such a mood. I just really loved how well they blended in to this whole, to the song. I mean, how it like really reflects the energy of J-Hope, just like an inclusive, excited energy in there. I love how they all have had to do so many like freestyles these days, but I liked it. I especially love Jin's with the chicken and stuff, and Tae's flip and stuff. It's just, they're so cute. I just loved the whole thing. Of course, as usual, JK, literally he dances as if like one day somebody's gonna walk up to him and take everything away from him, like all his money, his house, everything is just gonna be gone. That's how he operates in the world. But yeah, so before I get into sort of like just like a big discussion about chicken noodle soup within context, I thought that I would just give a shout out to the performance itself and how fun it was. And I just love 027 performances of solo songs. Can they all do August D? That would be great. I'd love for them to all do Bicycle. Can they all do Still With You? I'd be sad. But yeah, so those are some of my overall thoughts about chicken noodle soup as a whole. First thing, when we're unpacking cultural appropriation, there's a couple things that we're thinking about in terms of if it's cultural appropriation or cultural appreciation. Now, in the cultural appropriation conversation, there's not really a lot of room for cultural appreciation. And that's just for the sake of the fact that I think that there's, especially like communications online are really flattened. And people can't really bring space for nuances. And when, because there's so many acts of just really bad culture appropriation, especially from the Korean community, it gets hard to source through what is actually appreciation and what is appropriation, especially since you aren't able to put it through context. Like, we haven't talked about freaking Jay Park and DNA yet, but I guess we'll bring it up a little bit here and compare them to each other. And so and talk about how chicken noodle soup exists in this gray area for me. There's a couple of things to think about when we think about the actual chicken noodle soup, how it's made, stuff like that. So one, the artist who made chicken noodle soup, the writers and stuff like that, got paid really, really well for J-Hope to use sample the song. Not only was she paid very, very well, but she approved it. Like, she posted it and she's like, I love it, right? So she approved of it. I looked at the receipts. She approved of it a lot. She approved of the use of chicken noodle soup a lot. She approved of the level of appreciation that he gave the song. And so you have that, right? And then when it comes to the dancers and the people who are a part of the video, a part of the aesthetic and stuff like that, he has Black people in the video. He's interacting with them. They have credits on the song. And so you have all that. And then you have the hairstyle. And that's what is the thing that triggers people. And for me, it's like, I don't know, like, to me, I think that culture, to me, chicken noodle soup often feels like more like culture, well, appreciation because of the work he did to pay the songwriter, credit the songwriter, the effort to make sure that the singer, so make sure the dancers in the video were actually credited, the Black dancers, and mostly the Black and Brown dancers in the video were credited, got their credits. Again, that's something that a lot of artists don't do. And then he has a style and it's like the twists or whatever. And yeah, I mean, I think it's unnecessary, of course, that the hairstyle is there. But I think within the context of the whole situation, I feel like I'm just less likely to feel kind of way about it. And it was before my time. And he doesn't have the hairstyle in the performance at all. I think that the logo that has the dreads is still there, but he's not wearing it. And I feel like the styling itself, is not really, it's like hyper. It is a good example of how like you can take hip hop, even though I hate the clothes, right? But it's not obviously hip hop, really. Like, it's not really Black appropriation. It's like a heightened, more colorized, more him version of that aesthetic. So Chicken Noodle Soup is one of those things where I love most of the video. Like, I love most of the video. And so I just think it's a shame, just because I think it's unnecessary. I think it's unnecessary to wear his hair like that, even though I think I feel within the context of everything else. Like, if you pay Black people, if you appreciate Black people, if you give them their credit, you give them their money, that's the best we can do. If you compare it to like a J Park when they're all in the video, just in those styles, not making any references, just like openly stealing. To me, it feels different, but you know, if it doesn't feel different to somebody else, I have no issue with that. I don't think that Hobie deserves to be dragged again for Chicken Noodle Soup, especially since he wasn't wearing the hairstyle and you could barely see the logo. I think most people didn't even notice it on the stage, but yeah. That's how I said that my feelings are complicated. I just think it's stupid. I think that's the biggest thing, is so that the video doesn't need it and he did everything else. And it just shows the kind of weird relationship between Black culture and everybody else, is that people just think that they can take. But I think the good thing about Hobie is that he was not just taking. He was trying to create something that was an exchange, and the fact that the songwriters approve of Hobie, approve of the song, approve of what it looks like, is good enough for me. Like, I don't believe in performative anger on behalf of somebody else, and to me it seems okay, even though I don't love it. I think that it's great that, because they could have totally had him put that style on again and they didn't, they used the hat, so maybe they are trying to be more aware of things. So yeah, so you guys asked me about my feelings of Chicken Noodle Soup. Those are my feelings. Like I said, it's not like a J Park. It's not like these other situations. I think paying people, giving people credit, making sure that you put these things into context really goes a long way as far as making an appreciation versus appropriation. Would I have put him in that hairstyle? No. Do I think they're going to put him in that hairstyle again in the future? Probably not. Does J-Hope fully understand what is happening? I would hope so. I would hope so. It's very complicated. Like, watching the J Park video, the DNA remix video, which was, we'll talk about it later. No, let's talk. We'll talk about it. I feel like I'm almost done talking about day two anyway. But that video, so J Park put out a video with a bunch of K-hip-hop artists, and it was like a remix to DNA. I guess it was like Kendrick Lamar rip. I actually didn't see the whole thing. It was taken down before I could see the whole thing, just clips of it. And it was just like a showcase of like a bunch of Korean men wearing dreads and braids and cornrows and styles, and like, they looked stupid. They looked really stupid. And the reason why it's appropriation is because, like I said, there's no references, there's no credit, there's no appreciation, there's no nothing. It's just like them pretending to be us. And his statement was just completely, I mean, J Park, okay, if you've been listening to my podcast, you know how I feel about J Park. And I didn't even know anything about him. So I'm not somebody who's been around the block, who had known things about J Park for a while and was like, oh, this is J Park. I literally, as soon as I saw that man, I was like, fuck this guy. I had no context for it. I just felt it in my bones. I just did not feel good about him. And I'm having like all of my thoughts realized and confirmed. He's just like got such small dick energy. Like just tell us that it's small. You know what I mean? He just is somebody who should know better. He's from Seattle, Washington. So he's been around Black people. He knows, he has the internet. He sees people get dragged for this every single time. And he wants to be a global artist. Like, he was in the US, but it didn't work out. So he went back to Korea. And his excuses of somebody told him to not post it because it's not worth it. And he was like, oh, I don't want to shy away from Korean hip hop culture. And it's just like, how dense can you be? How dense can you be? And getting your hair like that, these men had full dreads, like full, like somebody had to work their ass off to get their hair like that. Because I know it was not easy. I know it wasn't easy to get their hair to do that, because it's unnatural for them. So like, they had to do all this to get their hair looking like that. And they had to, yeah, it's just, and then J Park is basically on Kendrick's flow. It sounds very similar. And yeah, I don't have much to say about it other than it just makes me really, because it doesn't really upset me personally. Like, I just think they look like idiots. I think that the context around cultural appropriation is also, I don't know, it's like hard to like put into context global cultural appropriation versus appreciation. It's like, again, another dense, complicated, prickly topic. But in this case where he literally, it's so funny because like the video itself was not good. But I think his statement made it even worse, because at one point he was like, yeah, we idolize these guys and so we want to look like them. It gives us confidence, as if we're people. Like, we're our people. We're not your props for confidence. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck? It's just so outrageous, and he should know better. In his early 30s, right? Like, he's not even young. He's been around. He's lived in the US. He's lived in Korea. He's seen it all. He just, like, is just the worst. He is simply the worst, and he cannot keep up with the times. He's having a hard time adjusting to be like who he is. He doesn't understand what the fuck is going on, and so he is lashing out like a fucking baby. And it's just say that you have no originality and leave. Like, your one personality trait can't be like jacking black culture. And it's like, sure, just because you got out of his other personality is like black culture and, oh, I hate K-pop and I got out of the K-pop system and it's so corrupt, when he's just racist, talentless, just like somebody who's just like a loser who is like really struggling and screaming for relevancy. Oh, it's a good thing that two, like, I'm super, super happy that like two of my favorite K-pop artists are under his label. That makes me feel really good. Makes me feel really good. No, it doesn't. I also think he's predatory. I feel like, listen, I love Switch It Up and I hope that it works out, right? But the way in which it seems like Jay Park really preyed on JB's vulnerability, the fact that he just got out of a company, he wasn't sure what to do, his obvious dislike for JYP in order to get him under his company. I don't know. Maybe it'll fold and they'll all get released from their contracts. I just think it's unstable. Like, I just don't see how it's sustainable, how you can have a company that can possibly be sustainable and profitable and can do all these things if they are not smart enough to not release that video. Please explain it to me. So hopefully he got dragged. That is my hope, my prayer, is that he got dragged from here and back. Speaking of GOT7, YG and Bam Bam both released songs and music videos. Should we do the good news or the bad news first? Let's do the good news first. Bam Bam. So Bam Bam's, so first of all, let's take a second and fangirl over Bam Bam's new company. What are they called? Abyss. So like I said, all the different GOT7 members have gone to different places, and Bam Bam has gone to a company called Abyss. And I didn't know anything about them, but they are excellent. They are excellent. Like, watching them put together his ribbon campaign is what I would do, right? Let's fangirl about it together. First of all, Bam Bam looks generally happy. He looks pleased to be there. And that kind of goes for a lot. The music video itself, Ribbon, looks like they put a lot of money into it. So that means that they're investing in him. They believe in him and they want him to succeed. The styling is excellent. Excellent styling. The stylist, he's looked better than he's looked ever as far as the styling is concerned. They are promoting him well. They're promoting him effectively. He's being put on platforms in which he can highlight his gifts as being a global artist. The fact that he's multilingual, leaning into his personality. On V Live, he's really given the opportunity to talk directly to fans in a way that feels really intimate while still feeling like there is boundaries in place. They are just it. Like, I couldn't have done what they're doing with Bam Bam better myself. I'm just so happy with it. I just think it's great. I really do. Like, as my strategy review, like, looking at the communications, it's steady without being overwhelming. They promote him with enthusiasm. Like I said, the money is being spent. He's being supported. And I just think it's fucking great. Like, I love Bam Bam and he's such a superstar. And I think that the debut, I like the song. The video is super cute. It wasn't what I expected. I think it's a really good idea, again, strategy wise. So like he has two songs and, or like he, I think he has a whole album. I haven't listened to it all yet, but Ribbon. And then I think the other song is, I forgot what the other song was, but it was like a little harder. Neither one of them are, oh, I just like escaped my K-pop company and I am just going to be out there like cute, sweet, lean into his energy songs. And I think that that's a really good strategy to take. And then you can build it out. So I think that they're being really smart with the strategy, being smart with his music. He looks great. He sounds great. And I feel like he's good and I don't have to worry about him. I don't have to worry about him at all. Okay, let's talk about Yugi. YG. Okay. So he put out, I guess it's two videos, right? So one video is a music video called It's All Your Fault featuring Gray. And then I think the other one was I Want You Around, which is, I guess, like a themed video featuring somebody named Davida. So I Want You Around featuring Davida. I like that song better. I think both of the songs are going to have to grow on me. I think the mood fits right. I think it's good. I feel like this is the direction I thought he was going to go with the I Want You Around music video and song. I just think it's really good. It's really fresh. He looks amazing. Perfect. Okay. Now the All Your Fault video. I was so like the All Your Fault video, I knew nothing about. So the video All Your Fault is like this music video in which it's almost like a incel music video, which is so disappointing because basically what it's about is YG is upset because this woman left him. He feels like it's all her fault that he feels this way. So he's putting all the responsibility of his feelings on her, on her, which fine, whatever. It's a problematic idea. Men can be very dramatic, right? And so he's like, oh, it's all your fault. You did all this. You did all this. Again, whatever. If he wants to make a breakup song that's like that, it's a little problematic, but go off. But the imagery is him with a gun, which first of all, like, I think that like when people have guns outside the context of a really strict, understood, I don't want to use the word consensual, but it is almost consensual, like within a context in which you are prepared to see a gun, it's better. But if you're not prepared to see a gun and one, like in a music video or something, it feels really triggering and it feels like you're, I don't know. And so he had a gun and basically he was murdering people because of like people who she was with. She like apparently she found somebody else and then he killed him. And then at the end, he kills her on accident, but he does kill her. And at the beginning, he's in a like NYPD cop car and stuff like that. And it's just like, and it's just not funny and it's not cool because that type of violence is not something that like in America, at least, is unheard of. Like it's not an aesthetic for some guy to get upset about somebody breaking up with him and then going on a murder spree. Like that shit actually happens. That's our reality. And it's something that as an American, a lot of us are afraid to go to public places and do things because it's so possible. Like it's so within the realm of possibility in our day-to-day life. And so to have it glorified within a music video for the sake of an aesthetic is just irresponsible and it's silly and it's just out of touch. And again, when I say this, talking again about Jay Park and how fucking out of touch he is and how if he is a figurehead of this company and he's the one who's setting the stage and the standards for this and the fact that he would knowingly make this decision, being from Seattle, understanding how our relationship with gun violence is and considering that YG is a part of GOT7, which has one of the more international audiences of all the K-pop stands. It's just stupid. It's dumb and it's worrying. And I just don't understand why they would do this. I don't understand. Like, it's not an aesthetic. It's not cool. And it's like, he's like 10 years behind. Like maybe 10 years ago, something like this would be like interesting or cool. But as a society, we've gone through too much to find it funny. I'm not saying that you can't have violence in movies. I love John Wick is one of my favorite movies. Like I can get into it, but again, within the space of a narrative in a different context, but within a music video with these themes, like it's giving very much like idolizing the Joker. Like it's giving very much incel. And I don't know if it's autobiographical. I don't know if it's something that he's felt or experienced. And so he feels like he needs to make this video. And if that's the case, that's also concerning as well. Don't like that either. So yeah, I just think that it's not great. And I love him and I want the best for him, but this was not it. Didn't love it. Didn't love it. Would prefer to not see that again. And I don't hope, like, I didn't see much of an outrage or like pushback to it, but I heard hope that it was enough to where he realizes that it just is not, it just wasn't it. It wasn't it, especially for his debut, his first thing. I just hate that. I really do. Okay, so time for questions. I got this really good question that I actually got via speaker pipe, and then also a friend asked me about this because she was thinking about the way she feels about K-pop. It's been a year. What if this is a stage? What if this is just a stage? What if this is something I'm going to grow out of? Something for me, at least, is that I am not super invested in a lot of K-pop. Like I'm invested in BTS. I'm invested in GOT7. I'm invested in like the cultural unpacking of K-pop and stuff like that. And I'm just along for the ride as long as the ride will have me. And then whenever it comes time for me to opt out, like if something in K-pop happens and I'm just like, okay, I don't want any more. If I find something else or whatever, I will just move on. I think it's really hard when you, especially if you have an attachment to something like BTS or something, to envision a reality in which they cannot be there. But it's just like everything. Everything has beginnings and ends. And even in those moments where it feels like you cannot take the idea of something ending, whether it's a relationship, a friendship, or a relative. This is like the same with loss. Not to quote BTS, but life goes on. And I think that the thing about K-pop and what's important to cultivate in any of your interests or anything that you're passionate about is to make it not just about BTS itself, but make it about the connections, the community, what it gives you, what it brings you, and not be so attached to it itself. Like I know for myself, I have a tattoo, right? I just got a new piece. If you're on Patreon, you saw it. And the BTS balloon is in the piece. Like it's a mural piece. It's got a lot going on with it. And one of the little aspects of it is the balloon. And it's a BTS balloon, right? And so, but it's not really about BTS to me, at least. It's about y'all. And it's about this community. And it's about this experience that I had where I was so depressed and feeling like really like how like this whole experience has changed my life. Like it really has. And it's not even just BTS, like they're a part of it, but it's like the community. I've made friends, like literally one of my friends that I've made through BTS is I'm literally in South Korea right now to meet her. Like some of my TikTok friends, my community, y'all are stuck with me, right? No matter what. And I hope that if I were to decide to like, I don't know, get on here and talk about something else, you would still hopefully listen. And so I think that thinking about K-pop in terms of just being very present in your feelings about it and with the sort of loose understanding that all things begin and end, and if it is a phase that you will be okay, and life is full of so many different experiences and there's just like so many things to experience. Like listen, like me finding K-pop after being 30, you know what I mean? Like in my 30s is an example of this. Or for example, last year when I joined a fantasy hockey league randomly because somebody didn't think that I would do a good job and I won the league. And now hockey is randomly a part of my life. I never thought it would be. When I go to Korea, like I'm about to go into Korea, Korea is going to be a part of my life and I didn't know it was going to be. Like things like come into your life and affect you and change you and influence you. And then sometimes you move on, and that's okay. And I think it's just the best to not really dwell on what's going to happen or how to deal with it, but just being really present and really like feeling into what your experience is in each moment and what is really making you happy about these things. I think also, like I said, making the BTS experience less about them and more about the community, more about the people that you share it with, more about stuff like that, I think also makes it easier, because then again, it's not you just being tethered to BTS, it's you being tethered to something greater. And so that would be my advice. It's something that I think about, but I've thought about it in passing. Oh my gosh, like you're doing all this. And it's like, I'm somebody who moves on. I move on. Like I'm always moving. So like for me, it's like, I wasn't going to do this until while it feels good. And whenever it stops feeling good, I'll stop. So let's say Namjoon does fuck up, or BTS does go away, or I stop liking them or whatever. For me, I will never feel like I wasted this time. I will always be grateful to what they gave me, this community, this experience. Always. I think that's the way to think about it. For yourself too, is thinking about the feelings that they brought up in you. Think about if and when it ends. And all things come to an end, right? Things evolve, things change. And it's something that I'm squaring with myself as well, as when I said in the beginning of like, oh my God, they're like, they have me. At some point they won't. At some point I am going to meet somebody. At some point these things are going to happen. At some point life is going to keep going. I think it's hard to envision a life where this isn't a thing because of the pandemic and stuff, but eventually life is going to march on, and I think it'll get healthier and better. And again, like, we just do it until we like it, do it until it feels good, and stop when it doesn't. That's how I feel about it. So that's my take on that. Okay, so the next question I got was, do I feel like BTS regrets the level of success that they have? I don't think regret is the right word. I think probably feeling nostalgic. I think that, I'm not going to mention the boxes, but it is a box of situation where I think once you get to a success to a certain point, it doesn't really, you're just like coasting from achievement to achievement. So I'm sure, especially in somebody like Namjoon, there is a sense of like, what is it all about? Because, you know, he's so philosophical. And if you look at BTS and their success, I'm sure there is a point where you can say like, what is the point exactly of being this successful? It depends on how grounded they are and how connected they are to the change that they're making in people's lives. Like if they feel like they are still making a difference to people, if how connected they're feeling to the music, the spectacle. So I'm sure there is like a better sweetness to it. I'm sure there's a lot of missing your old life, wanting to be able to experience things in a different way. But I think probably the positives outweigh the negatives usually. Now, if you were to ask them during quarantine time, I don't think they would agree. I think that during this time where it feels like every other K-pop band is just working more casually, not a ton. They've been going since it started and they haven't stopped. And so I do think that in moments like this, where I think about somebody like JK, who really loves ARMY and really loves performing and loves that part of the job, but probably doesn't like the rest of the stuff, but that's all they've been able to do during this time. So I think that there is a sense of regret that it has gotten so far and that they've lost some of their joy and enthusiasm. And also like they've gone off the cliff into a space in which they really can't be reached. Like there's nobody who's done anything near, nobody is as big as they are. There's nobody who can talk to them and can comfort them and help them through this instead of each other. And I'm sure that each other, they're looking at each other like, oh my God, I'm 26. What the fuck do I know? So I think there is probably a lot of that. I'm sure they're just tired, and I don't think they probably have a ton of time to think about it because they're just go, 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 go. And I'm sure that's part of the strategy, is like keeping them too busy, like busy enough to where they can't really, really perceive what is happening to them. So do I think there's like regret? Yeah, I mean, like now I think probably they think about it more, but I think before this, they probably didn't think about it, especially since one of the things that I think is really important is like this idea that like sometimes an outsider, underdog attitude or feeling can be motivating. Like even for myself, if I ever feel like I'm an underdog in a situation, or all of a sudden I feel like, oh my God, like I feel like I can't do this, or I feel like very unempowered by a situation, it really inspires me to keep going. And so I think that if this idea of conquering the West and doing this for Korea was something that motivated them, it probably motivated them for a time. And now that they've gotten it and stuff like that, I do wonder if they're like, okay, I say the same shit every week. I literally said this last week. So yeah, I do think that there's a part of that. I'd be interested to ask him if I see him in South Korea, because I'm free in 2 days. I will ask Namjoon what he thinks. I will certainly ask him. Okay. And one last question. This is a fun one. Sorry if I didn't get to your question this week. I talked for way too long about too many things. Okay, so this week's question is an interesting one. Are you going to date while you're in South Korea? Are you going to try to meet anybody when you're in South Korea? Are you going to do any of that? Probably not, y'all. I said that I would go on, I'm going to try to go on one date for the Sister Wives. For the sake of science and for content, I will try to go on one date. But honestly, my priorities are with food and shopping and sightseeing. Men complicate things, so I don't know. But I will try to go on one date. But no, I'm not trying to have no South Korea bae. I really don't want that. Watch. It's good. No, it's not going to happen. I'm going to be fine. Unless it's Namjoon. Listen, we're all manifesting. The manifestation we figured out was like, Shanae will meet Namjoon and have a pleasurable time. You never know. Shit, you never know. You know what? Like I said earlier, I think, was it this podcast or last podcast? I was like literally in the room next to them at one point. I was like literally within, not feet, but it was like, and I didn't know. I didn't know. So you never know. If I come across him, and I'm probably not. You know what? I'm not going to say that. You got to claim it. You got to claim it. But no, I'm not going to be trying to date anybody or anything like that. Just going to try to go have fun and see what happens. But I wouldn't get our hopes up. Okay, that's it for this week. Send me a speaker pipe if you haven't yet. Join the Patreon. Never mind. Join the Patreon if you haven't. So you can join the Discord, or you can get the OnlyFans podcast, which is an OnlyFans podcast on Patreon, in which I sort of shoot the shit and talk about stuff that's happening with me and some other stuff that I am not, feel like it's not safe for public consumption. And yeah, I will talk to y'all later. Happy muster. Happy June. Happy cancer season. And I will talk to y'all soon. Okay, bye. Up, 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 up
much I'm much out of chill. Look at everybody looking at me. Can't fix them, but it's still a bit of honesty. Love me, chopping up too ruthless. Dropping a bomb on my enemies. I'm gonna kick it like Bruce Lee. Ha ha ha.